All right, go ahead, Kaylin. Oh, that's much better.
Hello, hello, hello. Test 1, 2, 3.
Hi, hi, hi. How are you? I'm doing great.
Welcome to this week's Thirsty episode. I'm Pastor Michael Zarling from Water of Life Lutheran Church. Pastor Klusmeyer is not here today because in his place, I have four individuals from Shoreland Lutheran High School and Water of Life that came with me to a mission trip recently at Concordia Lutheran Church in Hood River and also Bethany Lutheran Church in the Dalles in Oregon. So we have Belle Zarling, my youngest daughter, and then Abigail Marquardt, Taven Holmes, and Kaylin Lawson, who is an orchestra teacher at Shoreland. So, Belle, why did you go on this mission trip?
Well, both of my parents were going, so it was a nice little trip for just us three to go on it. But it also gave me the experience to actually be able to help some other community and church with what they needed or wanted. And that was just going to be a cool experience, and I was happy. I'm so happy that I ended up going.
So I'm not sure what I'm doing after high school yet, but I've thought about taking a gap year to do a mission trip. And this opportunity came up, and I thought, well, this is the perfect way to see if I would want to do that. So, yeah.
It gave me a chance to go to a new state in a place I've never been and praise God in many different ways, such as even church and helping get food for those who need it.
I went on this trip because it's actually my dad's churches that we went to, so I thought it'd be a cool opportunity to go and help them out.
And I was talking to Kaylin about this, that I was saying that, well, it's a good thing you came along because you needed us for this trip. And then I was gently reminded that if Miss Lawson was along, we would have done this trip. She was the one that organized it for us with her dad. So, Belle, what were some of the memorable conversations? So share one, first of all. What was a memorable conversation that you had with people? So just a little background. What we did for these two churches is Pastor Lawson and fellow members went around 2 weeks before, or a week before we got there, and they put a flyer on people's doors letting them know which day we would be in the neighborhood and around the time we would be coming. So kind of like UPS and so forth, just a flyer on the door. And then we came the following week on Saturday morning and afternoon, Sunday afternoon, Tuesday, Wednesday afternoons. And then we gathered food and then talked to people. And the first question we got to was, what advice would you give to a church like ours that's trying to reach out into the community? So, Belle, what was one of your memorable conversations?
The very last conversation that I had with anyone on this trip, her name was Angela. She was originally from Hawaii, and she said that the closest church to her religion was 3 hours away, so that they weren't going to church at that time. So giving them the information for the church definitely helped them, and they wanted their answer for that question was that they just wanted a little bit of a space for their kids to play around and have some fun. And the church has a little bit of a yard that they can play. So that definitely helped. And they said that they were going to look into it. They didn't have very much food to actually donate, but they were willing to be acceptive of the conversation and continue the conversation. And they donated what little food that they had. Yeah. And said that they were going to go to the store later that day and pick up some more to donate to the church.
Yeah, two things with that. When we came back Wednesday evening for tacos, there were four or five boys that were in the yard of the church playing soccer. And then one of the kids that was playing on the playground there from the church, he invited those boys, preteens and so forth, to come to the meal. That's exactly what the church should be doing, any church should be doing. And in fact, that was an answer I had a lot the last 2 days to that question of what advice would you give to a church. And a lot of people said, family events, events in the park, events in the church, something to get people connected, because they were saying things like, since COVID, people were away from each other, apart. They were shy. A lot of the people I spoke to did not know their neighbors, and so they were looking for the church to kind of bring the community back together again. Abigail, give us one of your interesting conversations.
Okay, I would say one of my most interesting and positive conversations was with a lady. Her dog's name was Lola. She said that we should allow dogs to come into the church because dogs need to hear about Jesus too. And she also said that she worked at a nursing home, and a lot of the people there watch services online, but they don't really get the full thing. So it would be great if a pastor could come in and give them a full service. And she said they wouldn't fall asleep. They would listen to the whole thing. So
one of the questions I'll ask later on is, you know, what did we learn about being able to turn a conversation to Jesus? So what I would have said there, and this is maybe something I probably shouldn't say because I just forget that people don't know me and know I'm always teasing. You know, well, I would say something like, well, it's good if the dog comes to church, but the movie says all dogs go to heaven. But then I always tell people, but the cats, they go to the other place. Your mom doesn't like that one so much, Taven.
No, she does not.
All right, Taven, what was one of your memorable conversations?
One of my most interesting conversations was this woman at Concordia when we were canvassing. It seemed like she's waiting all week for us because as soon as we got to the door and she asked us if we were from the church, she started yelling at us because she was upset that we put a sticker on her brand new door window and said we could have broken or wrecked it. And then it could have also helped burglars like know that she's not home if the sticker's been on all week.
But how did that conversation end? Because you were with Mrs. Arling that day, right?
Yeah, after she got that off her chest, she seemed open to talking, but we didn't get really a big chance to talk to her. But I think if we went again, she would definitely talk to us.
Yeah, especially if there's no sticker on the door.
Yeah.
Kaylin.
Probably my definitely most memorable conversation was with a woman one of the first days in Hood River. She actually had some really good ideas for our first question, which was, you know, how can the church help in the community? And she had a lot of great ideas for local community events. And then I asked her, you know, what do you think people want to hear and see in church? And she said that that people want to see a Jesus like them, like the normal people, like a Jesus that smokes weed. And I just think that's the most Oregon answer ever.
And in fact, so all of you, I still have to write my sermon for Sunday, but I do know the text is where some Greeks are coming and they want to meet Jesus and they meet Andrew and then they say, can we see Jesus? And I might use that in my introduction to the sermon because Pastor Lawson, when we were talking after church and the announcements at Concordia in Hood River, he told that story, but then he added, but I wouldn't know what to say in response. And I said, well, I think I would have said, well, I like Jesus being high up too, but maybe not that kind of high.
Yeah.
And for me, and you guys can all talk about if you have other memorable conversations or interactions. So I know that Kaylin's dad, Pastor Lawson, is really big into the liturgy. He's lots of vestments. They're chanting, genuflecting, and so forth in the liturgy. And he and I had talked about those kinds of things. And then when we were out in Hood River, one of the people I spoke to, Adam, in our conversation, he talked about liturgical worship. And I stopped him. I said, I'm sorry, Adam. I have to say, you will be Pastor Lawson's best friend. And then the very next person that Bell and I talked to was someone who had been walking around just exercising, and he came to the door, his own door, just when we got there, and we had a nice conversation with him, and he talked about how he and his wife were going to be going the next day, so it'd be Sunday afternoon, and they were going to be singing in a choir in a Catholic mass. So here we were all the way out in Oregon, and they probably, most people don't know much about Lutheranism, confessionalism, or, you know, especially liturgical worship. And then here were two next door neighbors that were talking about liturgical worship. And I just use that as an example, is people are hungry for these kinds of things. They often don't know what they're missing, but it's out there. So, Belle, what else do you have for a memorable interaction?
The very next person after we talked to Adam and his neighbor, his name was Todd. He's a pastor on TikTok who likes to spread the gospel and has 25,000 followers. And when we first asked him the question, he said that that was a question that he had to think about for a second. And once he thought about it, all he said was that you need to plaster acts all over the community. And it was kind of funny because just a couple houses down, there was this house that didn't answer the door but had like three different pride flags, had a lot of different pride stuff all over the house. And we were actually praying that they did not answer the door.
And thankfully God answered our prayer, because we talked about this too. How many of you were nervous to do this the first time? They're raising their hands. Kaylin, Taven, were you nervous? Belle was not nervous. Kaliska, Pastor Klusmeyer's daughter, was not nervous. I was nervous. I haven't done this kind of stuff since I was a much younger pastor in our mission church in Kentucky. And then before that, I did some mission work in Georgia and Tennessee, just knocking on doors, cold calling. And that can be kind of soul sucking. That's hard. This is a lot easier. And I think it's easier because the people know you're coming and you're trying to help in the community. It literally opens doors. And there were a couple of people that last day that Taven and I, he was on one side of the street, I was on the other. They left the food out there with the flyer stapled to the bag of food. But I could still knock on the door and thank them and ask the question and so forth. But knocking on doors and asking people a question and then inviting them to church, I think that kind of way of canvassing is really hard to do and maybe has gone by the wayside. I think this is a better way of doing it. Abigail, do you have any other conversations?
Not necessarily a conversation, but I was invited into three different homes while I was canvassing, which we were told don't go into any houses because that might be dangerous. So the first time I was invited in, I did not go in, but my partner did.
Did he come back?
He came back. Okay. Yes, he did. And that couple was actually, they were practicing Christians, so it ended up being okay. But the last two people who invited us in, we just kind of had to read the situation, and we went in, and it was okay. And the last lady, she was actually like a massage therapist, and she had a whole like massage bed set up in her living room, and we were a little bit confused as we came in, but it ended up being okay.
So. Yeah, and I remember I told all of you not to go in the house, and then the second last day, a lady answered the door, and I mentioned they were there for the food. She said, oh, just wait a minute. And I was standing there. She said, oh, come on in. I said, well, same thing. I did. I went in one step. You know, I didn't feel comfortable going in any further. But again, she was very pleasant. Taven, you got any other interactions?
Another interaction on the last day of canvassing was walking up to this house that was fully covered in the grass with all kids' toys. And as I knock, a little girl opened up the door with her cat right by her, and her mom was in the background. It's a Hispanic family cooking dinner, and all I hear is her yelling at her kid to get away from the door and her asking what's up or like what I needed. And so then I told her I was with the church collecting food, and she instantly took my bag of that I was putting the food in and just filled it up all the way to the top with a ton of different food and just thanking me, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I had one. It took him a while to go get the food, and it was like two cans of tuna, but then he also gave me a garbage can full of soda cans. So he goes, "You'll take these." Well, I took them like two houses down. They had all the recyclables out, and they put the bag of cans in the recyclable bin because I didn't want to take that back to church. Caitlin, any other memorable?
One more memorable house was right at the end of our day in Hood River, and it was a house that my dad had had a pretty good conversation with the resident there already, and he had told him that he was a pastor's kid. And so I went over there. We decided, because it was Kaliska and I canvassing that day, and since we're both PKs, we decided we'd go talk to the fellow PK. And his wife was actually there. She was cleaning the windows. And so we started talking to her a little bit. He came out, we talked to him, and it was really interesting, kind of after a whole day of, you know, asking people, you know, what would you like to see in church? And it's a lot of, you know, oh, no judgment, love, you know, a lot of very worldly answers. We asked him that, and he said, you know, oh, well, what do people want to hear and see in church, or what should they hear and see in church? And then he ended up praying for us at the end, and it was a really positive interaction.
Right. With that, I think Kaylin was probably the only one that got to the second question, because we gave them two questions in training. And again, I got a lot of this information on how to do this type of canvassing from one of our mission counselors that help out with all of our missions and missionaries. And you know, the first question, like we said before, was what advice would you give a congregation? And the second one was, you remember, Caitlin?
What would you like to hear and see in church?
What would you like to hear and see in a church? And that one, I had given our team the answer that no matter what they said, it would be a gospel presentation, and saying something like, you know, that's interesting that you say that. What others have said is that they're feeling very frustrated, and yet Jesus comes and takes our burdens away. They don't feel a lot of love, and yet, you know, Jesus is one who loves. They don't feel very hopeful, and yet Jesus is the one who gives hope now and for eternity. And just give a short 20 to 30 second gospel presentation. But in talking with Pastor Lawson, it was interesting too that he said, well, maybe not use the word love, because it's a very leftist, liberal community out there, very much LGBT, especially in Hood River, he said. And so when those people hear the word love, they just say love is love, just love everyone. So maybe just staying away from that word. But, you know, we didn't even usually get to the second question, because Abigail mentioned this is kind of reading the situation. You can kind of tell as you've been doing this for a while, you know, people aren't really interested in talking to you. They're kind of holding the door open only like 3 or 4 inches. You're probably not going to get to the question, and that's okay. They got the flyer. At least twice they learned some things about the church. I told Abigail that I had someone that I had asked the question about advice. I gave the flyer to them, and then he handed it back, and that was it. But I told Abigail about the interaction and said, he said he wasn't interested. So I said, what, you don't love Jesus? But she believed that I actually said that. You said that? No, I didn't actually say that. Anyone else have any other interactions they want to share? Go ahead, Belle.
There was one day that Taven and I were canvassing together. We went to this house. The guy was high, like so high. And it was an older...
Like Jesus,
yes. And he was an older guy. And he was like, I went through everything that we were supposed to say. And he turned towards me and said, no, ma'am. And then when Taven said, oh, can I give you a flyer? And he's like, no. And he just like shut the door kind of on us. And so we just turned away and walked away. And it was just kind of a weird interaction. And then, like, the house next to them, they were all so high. But they actually donated food. And they seemed nice other than the fact that they were high.
And then I think one more, and Belle, you can talk about this. When we were coming back on that first day for lunch, I got a phone call from Pastor Lawson that I missed. So I ended up texting him and say, Belle and I are in the flower shop. Just go ahead and eat without us, because Belle loves flowers. So we went in there, and Then we talked to Demi. So not like Demi Moore. She brought her up and said, oh, yeah, most people don't know who that is, but it's pronounced Demi. And so we talked for 10 minutes about flowers, and then we talked for another 10 minutes about Jesus. So if you want to talk about that conversation.
She didn't really know about the church very much at all, but she had a 5-year-old son who was on the spectrum at some, I don't know exactly what he had or...
Yeah, so special needs.
And she just said that it would be nice if they had something to help with that because she doesn't feel like church is the best place for him. But then my dad brought up the fact that back here we have the Jesus Cares ministry, and she absolutely loved that. And we ended up having to make a connect. We ended up making that connection because my dad brought up the fact when we were talking about plants that God created the heavens and the earth and created all of the plants and was able to make that connection. And she also said at one point that she felt connected to us because we were willing to listen and actually sit down and have this conversation with her, and she didn't feel like she was rushed or pressured into it at all.
Yeah, and that would be the advice I give to any of you is in any situation, you can turn the conversation to Jesus. It may take a little while, but I think we fall into this, I know I do, of inviting people to church. And we should be really inviting them to Jesus and getting to know Jesus. And we did that with Demi and talked about baptism and so forth. But like Belle said, when you listen, then that gives you the opportunity then to talk. But a lot of times we just want to talk. But the beautiful thing here is we went back during lunch, we shared these conversations, and then Pastor Lawson said, well, he has to go there this week and order the flowers for Palm Sunday. And I said, well, now you have something built in and talking to Demi about. And again, that would be my suggestion to all of you is find an opportunity to talk to anyone at any time. So we ended up giving her a flyer. I know a lot of you wanted to stop. It was there a Mormon church?
Yeah.
Yeah. They wanted to go ask for food. So that was the next point I was going to get to is, maybe Kaylin, if you want to touch on this one first, why do you think that taking teens like this is helpful and maybe less threatening than just adults going?
I think that a lot of people that we talked to or that I saw along the way, the positive encounters that I had, I think they maybe wouldn't have been as impressed that we were doing it if it was two adults versus with a teen. You know, they're like, I had a few interactions where they were like, oh, it's so great that you're doing this, you know, and they mentioned the fact that, you know, we were younger and doing it, which was good. And I do think, especially when it's, you know, me and a teen and it's like people open, maybe are a little bit more inclined to open the door and talk to us versus, you know, when it's my scary dad walking around and knocking on people's doors. Maybe it gets people a little bit more interested.
What did Kaliska call your dad?
She said she said that he couldn't talk or what he wasn't supposed to talk.
Awkward.
Awkward.
Because he was awkward.
Yeah. Any of you want to add to that? Why do you think it's beneficial to have all of you as teens?
One of the people that I talked to with Kaliska, they even said that it was just inspiring to see that younger people were just getting out into the community and are willing to help. And once she heard that we were from Wisconsin too, she's like, you guys came all the way out here just to help this church. And she felt really inspired and was happy that we were out doing this for the community and for the church itself, which was just really cool. And I think a lot of people appreciated that.
Anyone else want to add to that? And I agree with what both of you said about it being having the teens. And that's why what we did is we had the teen be the one that go to the door, introduce themselves. Belle thought it was really weird saying, hi, I'm Belle, and this is my dad, Michael. because she doesn't usually call me by my first name. And then asking that first question and so forth, as opposed to the adult doing it, because it is less threatening when you have, you know, two high school ladies, a high school lady and a high school guy, or one of you with one of us as adults. And that's my encouragement. Again, if you can get a teen to go with you, when we put flyers on doors, a lot of times we'll take the grade school children and do it. Again, it throws people, it doesn't throw them off, but it sets them to a different mindset, because a lot of times people, they don't want to answer the door. They don't want solicitors and so forth. And so their guard is going to be up right away. And with those people, you may not be able to get to a gospel presentation, but those people that come out and they're all jovial, yeah, that's a great opportunity and to talk about the church and talk about Jesus. We'll start this way, Kaylin, then go around the other way. Is how do you think this might be beneficial to the church, what we were doing this last week for these two churches?
Well, I'm hoping that it will get them at least a few visitors, if not a few members. I know there were a few people that I talked to. One man who grew up Missouri Synod and had tried out the Missouri Synod church in town and didn't feel like he fit in as well. And so he seemed like he really wanted to check out the church in town. So hopefully they get just a couple people even.
What was the question again?
How do you think this might be beneficial to the church?
I think just asking for food kind of helped the people realize like where the church was, even if they weren't interested in the church. Telling them we were doing a food drive kind of helped them to want to help the community, and then it opens up the opportunity for them to come to the church as well.
Yeah, and I don't know what you all said. Since I didn't know where the church was, I just said down the hill, because somewhere along the line it was true, because that is a hilly community. Oh my goodness.
Like I do at work, I kind of just point in a random direction hoping.
Abigail, how do you think this might be beneficial to the churches?
Well, I would say, and this is something you talked about in your presentation, was that we would like people to come to us, but to have people go out into the community and show that they are there is very important. And that is, I don't know, I kind of felt a little bit like a disciple. You know, we went out in groups of two. And so doing that is it's more efficient and effective, I think, than expecting people to come in.
Yeah, Abigail had a great question. Is what if they're mean to us? Do we get to shake the dust off our feet?
It was real. I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that was a good question. Belle, what do you think? How might this be beneficial for the churches?
Well, all the food that we collected was going to a local food pantry. So everything that we were doing was going back to the community. So we were helping the community along with the church. I know a couple of the people that I was talking to that they were willing to try and go to the church and see whether they liked it and just see what it's like to be in a different church body or even going to church for the first time.
Yeah, and a couple of things that I was thinking of is, you know, Abigail had mentioned I did a presentation with our team in the airport while we were waiting for the flight to come in. And then I gave that same presentation for Bible study at Bethany. And what she was talking about was something a number of the people we met answered. And Belle mentioned, Todd, you know, when I asked the question, well, what advice would you give a church? And they said this, you know, do this. And they almost said it word for word that's in my presentation of the church needs to go outside the walls of the church building to be the church. Too often we as Christians say, well, the church doors are open. We have a website. We've got Facebook. And we do these kinds of things and just invite people to come in. What we were hearing was the church needs to go out, because the answer I got the first 2 days to that question, what advice would you give? They said this. Do this. getting out into the community, doing things for the community. And that was my encouragement to the members in the presentation, is find one thing that you want to do and then do it, and do it very well. And they're a very friendly congregation. It's an older congregation, both of them. And maybe, I said, maybe you can't do this kind of canvassing all the time, but maybe you can do it 3 or 4 times a year. And then you get to be known as the church that does this kind of thing. And then find your niche. I also encouraged a number of the members, because I know Pastor Lawson, he admitted he's not much in the outreach, is to go out with him. Greg, who Abigail and Kaliska stayed with, and we were kind of joking, he and his wife Joan, they were with us for a couple of days of canvassing, and Greg did not sit still in the vehicle, did he? Mm-hmm. You know, and I mentioned that to Joan, and she said, well, he wants to keep it going, which was good. He kept us on task. But I told Greg, because he is very outgoing, I said, hey, I met Bob. He just moved in. He's got to be about your age, because Bob and his wife had just pulled in the driveway when I was at the door. So I knew that wasn't a good time to talk to them. And I just said, hey, we're just in the neighborhood collecting food. He said, well, we just came home from the store. We just moved into this house a few weeks ago. And then they were going to drop off food at the church. But I told Greg, I said, that's a person you and Pastor should go visit. And that's an encouragement, too, is it's hard. And I'm someone that's been doing this kind of outreach for my entire ministry, but it's hard for me to get the guts up to go to that first person and talk to them. Once I'm warmed up, I can do it and I keep going. But having someone kind of to hold your hand is a good thing. And it helps in connecting. And like Abigail said, it's biblical too. Sending them out by two, I think Jesus kind of knows what he's talking about when he gives us advice like that. And then, how this might be beneficial to the churches too, and Pastor had asked me before we started, what kind of reaction might we get from this? And I said, well, percentages are, if you're knocking on, say, 100 doors, you might get 10 people to answer and be friendly, you know, 1 out of 10. And then maybe 1 out of 10 is somewhat interested in the church. And then maybe 1 out of that is, you might not have another 10 or 100 conversations before you get one person. So there's a lot of work that goes into this. And the encouragement I gave to the congregation is, don't get down if you don't see any of these people coming to the church, joining the church, because you're doing the Lord's work. You might just be waking people up from their spiritual slumber so that they're interested in going back to their home congregation. So you might not see them at Bethany or Concordia, but more importantly, you're seeing them in God's kingdom. And I said, too, even if you don't see any fruit from this, in my ministry, I've always seen this, that you're doing the work over here in God's vineyard, and then he blesses you somewhere else with a harvest of something else. So I've seen it in my ministry. We've done all of this canvassing, and I did tell them the story that we went, put flyers on doors in our neighborhood around now our Racine campus. Back then it was Epiphany. And because our church is in the middle of a block, you can't find it. So someone 3 blocks away did not know the church was here, found the flyer. He and his wife and daughters joined the congregation, put their daughter in our school. He eventually became one of the presidents of this church. And then they invited their next-door neighbors. And then that next-door neighbor is now one of the office managers at Shoreland with these students, just because of door canvassing. God promises to bless our efforts. So with that, God blessing the efforts, so how might this be beneficial to you? So Belle, if you want to start, and then each of you can think of this, how might this be beneficial for you that because you did this kind of mission work?
This helps me to be more confident in what I'm saying and actually be able to go out and talk to people. I know I wasn't really nervous when we were first going out. And once we did it for a little while, I was 100% not nervous to do it but I'm also more of an outgoing person, so it wasn't very scary for me, because even when we were in the airport, I was going up to all of the pilots and just asking them for a trading card that they have for their different flights. And so I'm just one of those people that doesn't get terribly nervous when I have to be confrontational to somebody that I don't really know. But this definitely helps me to grow my faith and to help that community and help like Abigail and Taven and Kaliska to feel more comfortable with this. And we also now have a closer relationship to each other through this.
Yeah, and you could tell from Belle talking, yeah, she's more extroverted. So like if I go to the store, say Farm and Fleet, or if I go to, because Taven works at Farm and Fleet, but if I go to his competitors like Home Depot or Menards, or those bad words in your house?
Those are all right words.
Those are all right, okay. But if I can't find something, I'd rather go to another store than ask someone for help, okay? So usually if Belle's with me, I'll say, Belle, go ask someone for why, you know, where this is. Even people would think I'm more extroverted, but I'm really not. But Abigail, you're very much an extrovert, are you not?
Of course, yes. I am very, very extroverted.
You are not.
No, I'm not at all.
So then, yes, I'm teasing Abigail, and I've been very pleased to get to know Abigail a lot better on this trip, because something I think Shelley mentioned as we were going through this, that, you know, Belle and Taven, I've known them their entire lives. I baptized them. They've been in this congregation for over 18 years. And yet Kaliska and Abigail, they're brand new to the church. And so it was fun getting to know them on this trip. But one of the things I did know about Abigail is she's rather shy. So leading into that then, what do you take away from doing this work?
Well, I would say even though I am very opposite from Belle personality-wise, I also think that this helped me gain a little bit more confidence in talking to people. I would really like to become a more bold person. So I think this was a great first step to doing that. And I don't know. It definitely pushed me out of my comfort zone, but that is something that I try to do regularly. So, yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things that I learned about Abigail is she's also very competitive.
Yes.
Yes. I learned that when we had a teen outing, we were playing lawn games in our gym, and we played bags or cornhole, and then she and her sister beat my team, but that was all Mr. Mitchell's fault.
Yeah, I can attest to that. It was his fault.
But what was wonderful is while we were hiking, and we'll talk about the hiking in a little bit, is I said, well, we should do bags at church. And Abigail was all about that. And then Taven volunteered to make the sets for us. So we're going to do, Taven is going to make us 6 sets of bags. And then he lovingly volunteered his younger sister, Abby, to paint our logo on each of the bags. And then our goal, you know, Abigail and I talked about it while we were hiking, is like every Monday during the summer, we're going to have a bags tournament at our Caledonia campus. That if it's good weather, we'll be outside. We've got 6 acres. And then if it's raining, we'll just be down in the basement and shorten the distance and so forth. But it's one of those neat things of getting to know the teens like this. That's one of the wonderful things that I picked up on this, is just getting to know all of you better. So, Taven, what did you pick up from this trip?
It kind of helped me gain confidence just going door to door, spreading the word of the gospel, especially on the last day when me and Pastor each had to go by ourselves on opposite side of the road.
Yeah, so just to do this, I was going to go by myself because we didn't have enough people for 4 teams. And so I said, well, I think it was going to be Abigail and Kaylin, right? And then I forget how we were all going to break
it
up.
It's going to be you and Abigail.
Oh, yeah. That's what it was. Yeah, it was going to be me and Abigail.
Yeah, we were supposed to be a group, Pastor.
I know. Yeah, that's right. Thank you. It was going to be three groups of two, and then Taven volunteered, you know, so he put himself out there, and he said, Pastor and I will go on our own. So he was on one side, I was on the other. Yeah, that was a great idea.
And I ended up being better than Pastor and getting done faster, so.
He was. And then he made sure to let Greg know that the guys got done faster than the girls did.
Well, that just means that not as many people answered the door, so
well,
you
got
done
more
faster.
Food, so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. We had better conversations overall, though, so yeah, I just want to say that.
People didn't want to talk to the old guy with the white beard. What else, Taven?
It kind of just helped me gain confidence in talking in general. Whether it be just a little conversation or a big conversation, it just helped me get to know others as well.
Okay. Galen?
I think, like, with what Abigail said, I am also definitely a more introverted person. So going out and talking to a bunch of strangers is not really my, dream day. But it was actually, you know, pretty enjoyable, especially since we had mostly positive interactions. So that was good.
Yeah. And Abigail was teasing us too. Again, trying to turn every conversation to Jesus. So when we went hiking the first day and I asked for directions, then Abigail said to me, you didn't tell her about Jesus, Pastor. And then so that afternoon when we were driving across the bridge to go into the state of Washington, Kaylin had to pay. And then they called out from the back of the vehicle, you didn't tell them about Jesus. And then what did you do when we went to the ice cream place, Abigail?
Well, you know, you guys were like, well, you got to tell them about Jesus, because I was so big on that. So as we were leaving the ice cream shop, I told the lady, Jesus loves you. And she said, thank you.
Yeah.
So I think it was a good thing.
It was. It was always a good thing to tell people that Jesus loved them. And then anything else you want to bring up with the canvassing? Okay, so it wasn't just work when we went out there, but we did a lot of hiking too. Some of us did a little more hiking than the others, but it's not a competition, except everything is a competition. Right, Taven?
Yeah. I think I proved Pastor wrong in my hiking skills.
In your hiking skills? Did you prove me wrong in your ping pong skills?
Yes, because you thought I was good.
So I created a contest with Taven because he was unsure if he wanted to go to Martin Luther College to become a middle school teacher or UW-Whitewater. And I told him, all right, well, let's play ping pong. And if I win, you have to go to MLC. And if I lose, then I will drive you to MLC. You still have to go to MLC, but I'll drive. And what's going to happen now, Taven?
If I go there, you're going to drive me.
I don't think so. Taven got a lot better as he played because we played, I think it was like 33 games.
Probably
something.
About 40 games.
Yeah, it was a lot. Taven did not win a lot. He did win 3 out of that lot. But that's okay. It was a lot of fun. I think I might need some rotator cuff surgery on my right arm because we played that many games. But besides the ping pong, and I know you ladies played Uno, and then Belle taught you how to play full contact solitaire. And Miss Lawson, did you get good at full contact solitaire?
I think so. Sure. I don't think I won a single game, but I think I was doing better than the beginning.
And Abigail, how were you and Kaliska at the Wii Sports?
I got beat by the little kid once. which I was not expecting, but that's okay. Yeah, well, me and Gideon play Wii all the time at home, and Gideon beats me a lot of the time. So.
There you go. So we went hiking, and so we went to Cirrhosis Park and Starvation Creek, Rowena Crest Viewpoint, and also Multnomah Falls. So out of those places, which was your favorite, and what'd you like about it? Anyone?
What was the mountain one?
Multnomah Falls. That was the first one we went to.
The second one.
Oh, the second one was the Creek Crest Viewpoint. That was the one the three of us went on while the other three were in the coffee shop.
That one was my favorite. What? Just there's like, either no matter what way you look, there's a different viewpoint where you could see all of the state, it felt like.
Yep. Belle?
I just want to say I did more hiking than Taven overall. Because that morning that we went to, was it that mountain, the crest?
Yes.
When we went that morning, my dad and I went to Cirrhosis Park, and that was about a 3.5 mile walk.
Yeah, so we got 3.5 miles in by 8:30 while all of you were just eating breakfast.
Yeah, but I ran up to Herb's house, which went uphill, so.
Yeah.
But that was a block. Yeah.
I ran it, though, so.
You did? Yeah. Run. Okay.
Little do you know
that. And then he drove you back down the hill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little do you know that we ran down Mount Noma. Yeah, to catch you guys.
That's how we caught up so fast, because we ran down.
We ran down that entire side. We were
running downhill, though.
Yeah.
That's easier than up.
But we were still running.
We ran. It was like three times longer than what you ran.
So, but what did you think of Seaside Beach and Cannon Beach?
Very cold.
Okay. I know that this is pointed towards me because we were walking down the hill. Okay. First of all, it was raining really, really hard, and it was really, really slippery, okay? Just take my word for it. But I fell in the mud, and I got the whole back of my leg covered in mud, and it was a little bit miserable, but thankfully, Pastor's friend had an extra pair of sweatpants for me, so it all worked out.
Yep. David, what did you think of Seaside Beach and...
It's a little bit rainy, but it felt really good with the wind, and it felt a lot like Wisconsin weather. So,
yeah.
And then as soon as we got home from Oregon, it was rainy in Wisconsin, whereas it was 70 the day before in Wisconsin, and then Oregon was 70 again. So we kind of missed the good weather.
Exactly. Yeah, it was actually painful at Cannon Beach, and one of the things that Cannon Beach is known for is the end of Goonies. Was filmed there, and so we're going to be having a Goonies movie night at our house one of these days. Okay, there's a rock right there. Taven's showing on his phone. Showing pictures on a podcast doesn't work real well, but you can describe it to everyone.
There's three rocks, and it's the one on the left side.
But it was painful because it was raining so hard and so windy. And then we went to Seaside Beach, and we ate at Moe's, and we all had seafood, except for Taven. He had a Midwestern lunch at a seafood restaurant.
I will say, their cheese was not nearly as good as Wisconsin's. It was a grilled cheese with a side of chili. The chili was actually pretty good, but the grilled cheese was lacking a lot. Oh, and fries that they put way too much butter on.
All right. Anything, Kaylin, about you get to go there? Well, you've been there before, right?
Yep, out to Oregon. Yep. And I've been to Seaside, and but it was a lot of fun. It was a little, real rainy, a little cold, but still fun.
Last question I have for you is, what are your plans for the future?
Right after college, I know I'm going to Concordia. I'm planning on going for athletic training, and I actually got asked to play soccer there. So I'm able to play soccer in college, which is awesome, and I'm happy to be able to do that because that is something I definitely love to do.
Abigail.
Oh, boy. Well, this is something I've thought about for quite a long time, but I am still undecided. I don't know what in the whole world I'm going to do, and... You know, a lot of people tell me that's okay, and a lot of people are a little bit disappointed in that. But, you know, I don't really have a good answer for you.
Yeah, so we talked about that at McDonald's, too.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And I said, too, it's okay. You take a gap year. You don't have to go to college. You don't have to go do something. Now you have to listen to your parents. But as pastor, I would say, hey, take a gap year, and if it turns out to be a gap decade or two, that's okay too. And you know, this is a encouragement I've given to all of my daughters who've gone on to different things, to say, you know, it's okay if you start, you know, start at college or you start in a career and then you be get married and be a stay-at-home mom. You know, that's what their mom did for, you know, 13, 14, 15 years. And then she went back into the teaching as a, as an aide in our school. Because that's the most important thing, I think, that God has given you, especially as women, to be able to be that wife and that stay-at-home mom. Taven, what about you?
After high school, I'm going to be going for teaching, whether it's MLC or Whitewater. I want to be a middle school teacher or possibly high school. Haven't fully decided yet, but...
Yep, and Taven will make a really good teacher. I give Taven a lot, a really hard time, but I told him while we were... while we were hiking, I said, you know, I'm going to miss you next year. And then he said, are you planning on dying? I said, well, I'm not planning on it. I very well could. But because, like I said before, I've been Taven's pastor for 18 years, and I give him a really hard time only because I like him so much, and he can handle it. And he's not afraid to give it back to me. Like when we were had our group text and Kaylin asked, you know, the ladies are planning the meals for our trip. Does anyone have any allergies? And Taven was really long in answering, so I answered for him and said that he was allergic to being cool. And what did you say, Taven?
Did I say I was allergic to pastor?
Yeah, you did. Yeah. And I told Mrs. Arling, I said, look at how mean Taven is to his pastor. She said, well, you know you have it coming. Kaylin, what plans do you have for the future?
Oh, man, great question. Well, I'm teaching orchestra at Shoreland now, and I really like it, and they haven't fired me yet. So, you know, stick there for a while, and we'll see what God has in store.
And you and I were talking about this, too. Why is Shoreland Orchestra really kind of unique compared to other area Lutheran high schools?
Sure. We, I believe, are the only Lutheran high school with an actual set for orchestra, a class period dedicated to orchestra. And it's kind of fun because we have, at Shoreland, we have a bunch of different levels in our orchestra. We have a couple students who have never had never touched violin before this year, and we have a couple students who have been playing their instrument for a long time. So lots of different skill range, and we all come together and make music. It's a lot of fun.
All right. And then members remind me of this every time I get a call. They say, Pastor, you have to stay here to take care of our teens. And for whatever reason, God has blessed us with a lot of teens at one time period. So we have like over 30 teens just at Shoreland alone, not including, you know, Wisconsin Lutheran School or some of our public high schools. And so these are very active teens in their church and in their faith as well. And so this group of these four, Lord willing, is going to be the beginning of taking a lot of our teens for the next 40 years on mission trips. So like next year, we have 9 very active teens that will be seniors, and I already have mission trips planned, 2 of them for next year. One, now I learned that Oregon is not really warm during spring break. So that one is going to be in Bend, Oregon, maybe the first week of June. And Bend is about 3 hours away from where we were. And that's going to be a brand new mission, Lord willing. That's a request that's coming into the board for all missions. And then I'll take, you know, 3 or 4 teens out there. And then also down to Living Hope in Chattanooga, Tennessee. That would be during spring. That'll probably be a little bit warmer weather. And then, again, taking 3 or 4 teens.
I volunteer myself as a chaperone for Tennessee.
Yeah, that's awesome. And Miss Lawson had the wonderful suggestion that since we're going to be driving down to Chattanooga, that I can take my bike. So that way I can bike before everyone gets up, and then we're going to be doing lots of hiking there as well. So again, I pray that the Lord's going to continue to bless this ministry that we've got going on here, because it's, Lord willing, going to be a blessing to Bethany and Concordia. And it'll be a blessing to that new mission in Bend, Oregon, and then a blessing to Living Hope in Chattanooga. But it's also a blessing, I pray, for these teens. I think you hear it from Kaylin and then the teens that we took, and I'm hoping that it'll be a blessing for those other teens, because when people talk about children and teens, they always talk about them being the future of the church. And I always correct them and say, no, they're the present of the church. You three, and then Kaliska too, you're the present of the church. Very active in your faith, and we pray that you continue to do that. For those of you who are then listening to this podcast, I encourage you to do something similar. Do some kind of activity out in your community. And if you need some help, you can reach out to Praise and Proclaim. They're going to come in and train your people to do this. Our Board for All Missions and then also the Evangelism Office in Synod Office can help. You can reach out to mission counselors or your district mission board chairman like myself, and they can all get some advice or give you some advice and to do this personally with your pastor or with your congregation, and so that the Lord can continue to grow his kingdom. So we're going to wrap it up here. This is Pastor Michael Zarling with Belle, Abigail, Taven, and Kaylin from Water of Life Lutheran Church. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wants the water of life take it as a gift. You're thirsty, my friends, so drink deeply from the water of life.